Hi, I'm Rick Bly. I'm Director of Stewardship and Prayer Ministries, and you are listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
All right, thank you for listening today to the Mississippi Baptist Around the Table podcast. My name is Tanner Cave, Communications Director, co-hosting alongside the John Martin, Chief Strategy Officer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well today. Eclipse Day.
We are recording on Eclipse Day. That is, in fact, the day. Yep. Are you a little thrown off right now?
Tanner was actually a little late because he was outside watching the eclipse. But we are glad that you're with us today. We have now Dr. Ryan Reed with us recently.
Yeah, within the month, you know.
glad to have Ryan. Ryan is the pastor at First Baptist Church in Bruce. Before First Baptist Bruce, Ryan was at Midway Baptist Church in Newton County. He is a Blue Mountain boy. That's what he's most proud of. Blue Mountain Mafia member. And
there's no mafia.
he is, of course, married to Jordan, three kids.
Yeah.
Knox Lottie Annie. Knox lost out in the naming, so he got Knox. The other two got missionary names. Yep. But glad to have Ryan here with us to talk about the Board of Ministerial Education.
He likes fishing on Sunday afternoons. I saw a picture the other day.
He does.
I did
yesterday.
Yep. Look, now that we you know, being a pastor, y'all know, unless you pastor near your family, it's kind of hard to go out and see him on Easter. So we did it the week afterwards, and it's been a long time since I went fishing, and I thought, you know what'd be fun? I'm going to take this pole up here. And so I got to fish with my 8-year-old on the same bank that I learned to fish on. And that was just cool.
Awesome.
I liked
there
that.
You go.
Now, we didn't catch a thing because, you know, if you fish on Sunday, you catch the devil.
We didn't catch a thing. Oh, man. Well, now that we're – let's pull this back on track. Okay, so event-wise, I don't know how to go from fishing and – okay, so anyway, while we – bring this podcast to you today. I want to remind you of a few events around the corner. April 26th is our African American retreat at Calvary Christian Oak Forest Baptist Church here in Jackson. May 14th, our Church Safety for Minors workshop at Country Woods Baptist Church in Byram. That's the only one this year. May 17th is a Church Financial Leader Seminar at Camp Garaway. That's with our stewardship office with Rick Blythe. I hope you can register for that seminar and the workshops. You can find more at mbcb.org/events. It's hard to believe we're in mid-April, but we are less than 2 months from the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And we will have our Mississippi Baptist Fellowship on Monday night
this year. Yep, Monday night, 6:30 to 9:30.
That's right. We'll have registration coming up here soon on social media.
Yep. Well, Ryan, we're going to begin by letting you tell us who you are. I think I pretty much did that, but you can tell us tell us more about all of that information, because I failed to mention that you were the former co-host of the Imperfect Church podcast.
The highly successful
Imperfect
Church podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that I got fired from that podcast by my co-host.
We just rebranded, and you got replaced.
We rebranded and I got replaced. We did an audience poll, and we figured out what would be better would be to replace me with somebody that knows what they're doing.
That's right.
So you made all those jokes about the guy that edits the podcast and all the mistakes he made, and that he was going to get fired, and then lo and behold, you weren't joking.
Like today. All I do is show up and talk.
I got to watch out.
That's right, he does that.
Tanner, he'll replace you in a heartbeat now.
Go ahead, John.
When it comes to podcasting, he's nothing. You're nothing to him. So I'm married to Jordan for 10 years this year. Will be our 10th anniversary. And we have three wonderful kids, Knox, who's 8, and Lottie, who's 5, and Annie, who will be 2 in June.
That's awesome.
So, Knox, named after two great preachers. His real name is Homer Knox. Homer after my wife's grandfather, and Knox after John Knox, the reformer in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And then Lottie is Lottie Ruth, named after Lottie Moon. And then Annie is actually named after Ann Judson instead of Annie Armstrong. Nothing against Annie Armstrong. That wasn't the intent, but I love Adoniram and Ann Judson, and my wife told me that I could not name a boy Adoniram because he would get beat up, so she let me have Ann, and so we have Annie. And yeah, we've been here in Bruce. It'll be 4 years in October. So time has really flown. And before that, we were 7 years in Newton with the sweet folks at Midway Baptist Church, one of the finest churches in our state. Mm-hmm. And that's where John and I met and became friends. And John helped me to learn how to pastor just through friendship, him and other godly men.
Mistakes.
Yeah, that's right. All of my mistakes are his. Yeah. Yeah. But no, we became friends and did podcasts together for a while. That was a lot of fun. Since we've been in Bruce, the Lord has just been very gracious to us, and we're enjoying North Mississippi a little bit. And yes, I am a alumni of the Blue Mountain Christian University.
There you go. That's right. Lots of preacher boys around the state, graduates of Blue Mountain Christian University. Mm-hmm. Still putting them out into the field. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So you're here today to tell us about the Board of Ministerial Education, which
you drew that out.
Most people may not even know exist. Yeah. All right. So, tell us generally, what is the Board of Ministerial Education?
Yeah, I think this is a great point. You know, you and I, as Mississippi Baptists, we give to the cooperative program, and we know generally that that goes to Christian missions. But I don't know if our people or even many of our pastors understand exactly all that that goes to. And the Board of Ministerial Education is a good example of this. The Board of Ministerial Education was founded by the Mississippi Baptist Convention in 1885, and it was designed to help ministers pursue their theological education at one of our three Baptist colleges, William Carey University, Mississippi College, and now Blue Mountain Christian University. And so this is a way that anyone called to vocational ministry can apply for this scholarship aid, and it can help them as they seek to follow God's call on their life through theological education.
Yeah, and so talk to a little bit about how that works. So like a young woman, they're in one of our Baptist colleges, and they are going to give their life to the ministry. They apply, I assume, for this degree through their Christian Ministries program. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my experience with the Board of Ministerial Education comes not only from being on the board these past 6 years now, but also I was a recipient of the Board of Ministerial Education scholarship. Okay. So the first time I heard about it, theological education for me really corresponded to my call to ministry. So as a 17, 18-year-old in high school, I felt the Lord calling me to ministry. I lived there in Selmer, Tennessee, which is just north of Corinth, Mississippi. And as I felt God call me to ministry, I knew that I had a necessity to learn something. But I couldn't preach, I couldn't be a pastor or a youth minister or anything because I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So I needed to find someone who could teach me. And so as I thought about college and theological education, I wouldn't even have known how to put together theological education. I just knew I needed to know something about the Bible. Yeah. And I knew of two Christian universities or Christian schools. I knew of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, and I knew of Blue Mountain College at the time. And I knew about Union was that it was a good school, but that it was a costly school, that it was expensive to go to. That's just what I heard my whole life. And so I began looking into Blue Mountain, which at the time I was looking at Blue Mountain. They had been co-ed for a few years, but their website still said that it was a female college. And so I was a little concerned there. But, you know, as I went to school, I went to school around the same time, right after the 2008-2009 recession. And so that was a hit on everybody. And I knew that though I would get some scholarship aid, that as I moved out of my house, I was on my own. Mm-hmm. And this scholarship was presented to me of, hey, this is something that Mississippi Baptists do. You can apply for this aid. And if you are called to vocational ministry, so ministry within the local church, whether that be pastor or missionary or music or youth, whatever that looks like, as long as you are committed to serving the local church in ministry in some way, shape, or form, you can apply to this. So the application that we have, it's online. You can find it if you Google Board of Ministerial Education, Mississippi Baptist. It'll take you to the webpage. there. And essentially what you have to do is you have to fill out this application and you have to get a pastoral reference along with two other references. It's a blessing to be able to do, but essentially what we are able to do is each month we, Mississippi Baptist, they cut a check to each one of these scholarship recipients. And that check has varied throughout the years. When I was in school, the check that we got was $185 a month, and that was to be spent for whatever you needed, whatever needs you had. And so, of course, you knew when it was the time to get the checks, because the ministerial students would line up to get their checks and go cash them. And, you know, it's such an investment into that next generation. One of the things that I like to tell my church when it comes time for Margaret Lackey or some of those mission offerings is I like to mention the Board of Ministerial Education, because before First Baptist Bruce knew who I was, they were investing in me. They were giving $700 odd a year that were that was going specifically to the Board of Ministerial Education. And that money was going to people like me. And it was because of that money. I remember the first check you get is in October, and you get a back check as well for September. So you get September and October's checks back to back, which is a big day. I mean, you get a double check. It's a big day for a college student. And so my senior year at Blue Mountain, I received that double check and I drove to Olive Branch, Mississippi, and I put down a down payment on an engagement ring for my wife. And so I'm not the only ministerial student who's done that.
I'm glad that money, CP could help with y'all getting married.
That's it. Absolutely. that money helped to sustain me at school. It helped me to buy books. It helped me to serve my local church at the time. I was a youth minister. And it helped pay for a lot of gas that drove 30 miles one way and 30 miles back for $150 a week. So that check helped to pay for that. I'm not a unique story here. Mississippi Baptists have been doing this for a long time, helping support ministerial students throughout our state as they pursue theological education.
Yeah, let's talk particularly about, you made a statement about how these scholarships are really specific, right? I mean, they are for, again, men and women who feel called, but that calling is to ministry inside of the local church, right?
Correct. That's right. So, and you don't just apply and get the scholarship. Yeah. So there is a series of interviews that we do. There are 9 members on our board. We are spread out all across the state, serving 3-year terms. You can serve 2 terms at once, kind of a traditional model there. But each one of us are required to come and to do interviews at each one of our schools. And so I've had the privilege of going to all 3 of our colleges and universities and interviewing these students. And so we sit down for about a 30-minute or so interview where we hear how the Lord saved them. We hear their salvation story. We hear they're called to ministry, and specifically to what ministry they feel called. And you know, what's great about this is as you serve 3 to 6 years, it's very possible and very probable for you to interview somebody more than once. So for me, I've been able to interview a freshman who's come in and said, look, I don't have a clue what my ministry looks like, but God has called me to the ministry. And then the next year to hear them say, you know, I feel like the Lord's calling me to youth ministry, and I'm having this opportunity at this church to serve the youth there. And then to hear as they progress, you know, the Lord has called me to pastoral ministry or whatever it may be, and to see how the Lord has continued to grow and to shape their call to ministry. So we go through that interview process to ensure that each person applying fits the criteria that Mississippi Baptists have set out.
Yeah, and you know, I think this is a good point to clarify some other qualifications as well, right? So it's not just that you are a student at a Mississippi Baptist college that desires to go into church ministry, but you also have to be a part of a cooperative giving church, right?
That's right. That's right. And inevitably, every year we'll have someone apply and they won't know that their church isn't giving to the cooperative program. And we'll have to say, you have to contact your pastor and let them know that they're not giving. It's just part of the benefits of being a part of our convention is just by giving to the cooperative program, your church is, or the people that attend your church have the option of receiving the scholarship.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one of the benefits of being Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. There are people that are going to our schools that are called to ministry that aren't a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's great. But specifically, this scholarship goes to fund those who are called to Southern Baptist work in Mississippi.
Yeah, I appreciate how you put your testimony to that, because you know, at my church, I was part of a business meeting about a month ago, just typical annual business meeting. But someone stood up and shared a testimony about one of the ministries that we were voting mm-hmm. on the paper, and that mm-hmm. allowed that paper, you know, dollar figure really come to life. And so you're talking about mm-hmm. your history and your testimony with this is really a big deal. And I appreciate that. I'm glad that you can serve now as the chair of this group. And one of the things that inspired me to bring you on today is y'all did meet about a month ago. I don't know how many times a year you meet. But one thing that's interesting, and we kind of brought this up in our pre-recording conversation, is just the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole, we are trying to always just open the door for calling out the called mm-hmm. and that initiative right. and bringing in more ministers of the pulpit, ministry leaders in the church, and different areas of the church leadership. And so I'm curious, and you can help explain for our listeners, you know, how has that, and that's been going on for a few years now, have y'all noticed an increase on your side as you've been receiving these applications?
Yeah, so it's unique. When I first started serving on the board, William Carey had the most ministerial students, around 60 to 70. Blue Mountain was competing with them with about 50 to 60, right there behind 10 or so folks. And the Mississippi College was around 30 or so. As we've been on the board, that has fluctuated for each school. You know how it goes, different trends of sometimes you have a whole influx of folks and sometimes not as much. Where it stands today, though, what we're seeing is William Carey has remained pretty steady. They have about 60 or 70 or so, and are expecting to maintain that, if not add a little bit. Blue Mountain has dropped a little bit. They're in the 30 and 40 range now. But Mississippi College has doubled. This mm-hmm. year they had 60. And we're seeing, they estimate that they'll have a very conservative estimate, possibly 80 next year.
Yeah.
And that is fantastic. I mean, you're looking at more ministerial students that are coming in and that are desiring to be a part of Southern Baptist work here in Mississippi. And the other thing that you see, every year I've been on the board, it seems like, and don't get me wrong, 6 years ago, as I did interviews, we had incredibly impressive students mm-hmm. that were called to the ministry and that were called to serving the Lord. Every year we have that. But it seems to me, other people on the board may be able to back me up on this or not, but it seems to me that we're having more and more more serious and more impressive students each year. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that we're adding in number, but we're adding in quality too. Yeah. And that has nothing to do with the board. The board interviews the students that are there, right? Yeah. Whatever student signs up, we interview.
Okay.
And so what that has to do is that speaks to our colleges mm-hmm. and the direction that our colleges are going. But ultimately, that speaks to our local churches.
Yeah.
That pastors are helping these young people to understand their call and to embrace their call. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I don't know if all that can be attributed to calling out the called, but certainly, certainly there is a correlation there.
Yeah. Our three universities, which by the way, are also supported through cooperative program giving, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Those three universities have top-notch staff and, I would put them up against anybody. And so I think the leadership of those colleges are, of course, Ronald Meeks at Blue Mountain, mm-hmm. Evan Leno at Mississippi College, and then Brett Golson at William Carey.
Is it still Brett Golson?
So our board...
I didn't see him the other day, so I was going to make sure.
Yeah. So our board representative is Joseph Bird.
Joseph Bird, okay.
They have fought back and forth a few times, but Joseph is there. And actually, when I came in on the board, Joseph was the president of the board.
Okay.
And so he's a great representative for William Carey.
Yeah, but just a word about how, you know, what a great job they're doing in Christian studies departments at our three mm-hmm. universities. Obviously, we educate all kinds of people through these three universities, but our our ministerial departments, I think, are doing a good job. So kudos to them. So I know that just a little bit of weeds here maybe for people, but the Board of Ministerial Education is voted on, right? It's appointed, and then it's voted on at the annual meeting every year, right? And then those people serve three-year terms. You can serve 2 3-year terms. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so you're coming to the end of your second 3-year term, if I hear you correctly. So, you know, there may be somebody out there that says, hey, I would love to get and become a part of that. And, you know, I know you know the answer to this. Beyond being nominated by a member of the committee, there's another way that they could plug their name in as well.
Yeah, so when Mississippi Baptist Tech nominees every year, this is a great opportunity for you or a friend to nominate you for this board. And this is a great board to serve on because you get to see the best and brightest of Mississippi Baptist.
Yeah.
We all know what it was like to be in college and have a fresh call of God on your life and be so on fire for the work of the ministry. And as we grow older, I know that flame can sometimes flicker a little bit. It can be diminished. And so to be able to be on this board and then to hear from these students that God has completely grabbed a hold of their life, and they are so excited to serve in whatever capacity that they can. Mm-hmm. They want to be involved and to be able to help counsel them and to give them advice and encouragement and just to pray for them. It's such a great thing. So it's a great board to be on. If you have interest in that, that's a great way to do it is through the nomination process. I think I've certainly enjoyed my time being on this board.
Well, good deal. Thanks, Ryan, for your time. So, Tanner, the way Ryan and I always finished the Imperfect Church podcast was we always talked about what we were reading.
Okay.
So you have to tell what you're reading. And it can be real books or not real books. That's the way I
not real books.
That's the way I categorize them.
John doesn't believe that fiction is real books.
But I read fiction. Yeah, I just don't believe they're real books.
It's not real
books. Like imaginary, like AI books or something.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah. So Tanner, you start. And the Bible doesn't
count. What you reading there, Tanner? Just pick a few. I know you've got several.
I know. Well, honestly, I'm reading right now, I can't remember the title. It's a leadership book right now, so I've been just trying to dig into some leadership books. There's a
and you don't know the name of
brand.
It?
I'm serious. I'm in chapter 2 right now, and now I'm recalling it's white with red letters. But
it's not ReLeader, is it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, go ahead.
So yeah, that's what I'm reading.
Good deal.
I'll need to put it in the notes so everybody knows it's a real book.
Everybody believes
it's a real. I'm not making this up. I promise you. It's red and white.
Earlier.
Well, I expected like Charlotte's Web or something like that.
But, whoa! I just finished Charlotte's Web with Lottie.
My girls, and their bookshelf. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm reading. I just finished Craig Groeschel. Is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
Oh, no, he didn't write it. He wrote the foreword to it. It's called ReLeader. Is the name of it, and it's a good little book. And then Ryan and I are reading together. We're reading Once and Future King together.
T.H. White.
By T.H. White. And it's not what I thought it was going to be, but it's a great fantasy book, right, Ryan? It is fantasy, we decided.
That's right. Yeah. High That's fantasy. Right. That's good
high
stuff.
High fantasy.
So, I don't know if it's high fantasy. We have to ask our other friend about that. But it's certainly
Tanner
fantasy.
Found his book.
The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. There you go, by Jenny Catron.
There you go. All right, Ryan. Yeah. Limited to two, Ryan.
I've got several books I'm reading right now, but I will limit it. So I'm reading Calvin Miller's Preaching, which is I don't know if you've ever read Calvin Miller, but Calvin has a lot of wisdom, and his preaching book is The Art of Narrative Exposition. And so far, I've really enjoyed it. I'm probably about a quarter of the way through, so much plenty more to go there. Certainly, I'm reading the Once a Future King with John and a couple other friends. And then I'm reading right now, it's called The Book of the Dun Cow. And it was introduced to me as this is kind of like a mix between Lord of the Rings and Animal Farm. The guy that wrote it, Walter Wingren Jr., something like that. I don't know. He is a Lutheran or was a Lutheran pastor. I don't know if he's still living. But this is a great story of good versus evil and Chanticleer the rooster fighting against the great serpent that lives under the earth. That's great. I'm telling you, it's worth reading. That sounds really, really nerdy, but
well, yeah.
You know, I really
expect anything less.
Yeah. And then, you know, in preparation of this podcast, I was doing a little bit of reading about James.
Oh, yeah,
James.
We forgot about that.
Yeah, James Boyce. Yeah, let me throw that in there. Okay. That's another throwback to the Imperfect Church, the dead man talking.
That's right. We had dead man talking. That's right.
Yeah.
Give us a little dead man talking.
One of Southern Baptist's most important statements on theological education is in 1856, where James Boyce at the time gave a speech to Furman University about his vision for theological education. And basically he said that we need it to be abundant. We need the ministry to be learned, and we need it to be orthodox. And I love what he says. He has a quote. He says, "Oh, were there ever a time when we could expect that God would answer the prayers of his churches and overflood the land and the world with a ministry adequate to uphold his cause in every locality? It should seem to be now. Now, when the wealth of the church is sufficient to send the gospel to every creature, now when the art of printing the church has again received the gift of tongues, now when the working of God himself indicate his readiness to beget a nation in a day, now when the multiplication a thousandfold of the laborers will still leave an abundant work for each, but now, alas, now when our churches at home are not adequately supplied, when dark and destitute places are found in the most favored portions of our own land, when the heathen are at our very doors, and the cry is help, help, and there is no help because there are not laborers enough to meet the wants immediately around us." He says, "We must not be guilty of a failure to make provision for the education of such a ministry as he designs to send forth and honor."
Yeah.
So I think that's a great, great word for us as Mississippi Baptist. This is why we give to theological education, because the need is great and we need trained ministers.
That's good. Thanks, Ryan, for finishing it off with a dead man.
Yeah.
Talking.
Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like
old times, no doubt. Yeah. Maybe one day.
Maybe this will be a good audition for me, and there'll be someone else out there who'd like me to be their podcast co-host.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I'll come prepare to y'all's podcast next time.
Yeah. There it is. Thank
Thanks,
y'all for
Ryan.
Having me.
Appreciate you.